kaboom.
If you thought 4 hours a day, 1,200 minutes a week was enough, think again. He's the last remnants of the old republic, a sole bastion of fairness. He treats crackheads in the ghetto gutter the same as the rich pill poppers in the penthouse.
Wow.
The clearinghouse of hot takes break free for something special. The Fifth Hour with Ben Maller starts right now.
That it does. I hope you're having a wonderful day today as we have another edition of the Fifth Hour to try to treat your boredom from social distancing and the stay-at-home order, which is all over the place, and the despair that many people are experiencing right now. But we'll help you kill a little bit of time right now with this edition of the Fifth Hour, because 4 hours, not enough. A reminder, if you have not yet listened to a previous episode with Lenny Dykstra, I recommend that you do that even before you listen to this edition of the podcast. But if you've already heard that, you might want to go back and play it again. It's amazing, fascinating, and captivating, the great Lenny Dykstra. But as far as this edition of the Fifth Hour, we will have an extended grab bag, a lot of listener questions, and we will have some fun with that. And here to annoy, irritate, and exasperate you is David Gascon, yet again, who's with me side by side to frustrate the hell out of my life.
I do what I can, Ben, especially nowadays since we are so far apart. Now that you have your happy confines set up for an upper class, first class radio studio inside of your hallowed halls of the Maller Mansion. So I am
practicing social distancing, yeah. And with you, of course, I love practicing social distancing, yeah. Staying as far away from you as possible. You decided— I feel like Gascon, I said this jokingly, but I really feel more like Rush Limbaugh or Steve Harvey or Sean Hannity, that I am now on their level. I am doing the shows from my house. I'm wearing my pajamas doing the show. So I feel like I've finally arrived in the radio business. It only took me, I don't want to say how long, 25 years or whatever it is, but I finally arrived. Finally have I arrived in the radio world. Hallelujah.
Now, that might be the case, too, because earlier this week, I connected you with someone that has very close ties to Sean Hannity and Rush Limbaugh and Steve Harvey. So I think that this is all coming full circle, in large part because of me.
I take full credit for this.
And I know you're a pessimist by heart, and so I do everything that I can to put you up on that golden pedestal.
Trying to push my buttons here.
I try to do that every so often. But how are you coping, though? Because exercise, nutrition, are you still on a level playing field with weight-wise and your sanity?
You know, I really missed the gym. I didn't realize I'd missed it. I always thought, well, now I have the ultimate excuse not to go to the gym. But it was such a big part of my routine, and it's just not the same. I'm walking around aimlessly around the streets of my neighborhood in different parts of the, you know, I live kind of near three different cities, and I just kind of walk through all three cities, and it's I feel like just I don't know. I just like wandering aimlessly. I don't even know where I'm going, and then just kind of walking out and trying to get a certain number of steps every day and all that. I miss that. I'm still keeping the diet, so I'm eating every other day during the week and skipping a day here and there, and so I feel like I'm pretty good at that. My goal, I said this a while back, but if you're new to the podcast, my goal is to go 365 days at least fasting with the minimum threshold. On the weekends, I fast for usually 17 or 18 hours. But during the week, I'll skip a couple of days. And I try to go minimum 23 hours during the week between meals. So that's worked out. And by the way, Gascon, there was a message I got the other day on Twitter from a guy who started the intermittent fasting. And this dude's lost 17 pounds. Paul is the guy's name, and he actually tweeted out his stats from an app that he's using, and he thanked us, well, mainly me, probably, but he thanked us for helping him lose weight. So congratulations to Paul. Good job by you. This year, he's already lost 17 pounds, and here we are. We're in the third month of the year in March, so that's a good job
by
him.
He's got good numbers. 40-day streak that he's on with fasting, and his longest fast was 32 hours. That's pretty phenomenal. That's a good job by Paul.
Yeah, what are your numbers? You wanna do your numbers?
Not as good. No, it's not as good.
No? You want to do your numbers?
I admit, man, I haven't gone to the gym. I went running last week on the boardwalk down in the beach, and my legs are still sore. and I was doing some exercises earlier this week, and I think I strained my right groin. So, like, I'm just not doing well right now. I'm not eating as good as I normally do. The fasting does help, but I need the gym more than ever right now. I couldn't believe it. I went to a couple sporting goods stores, and it cost $30 for one dumbbell. $30 for one fucking dumbbell.
You got to go to Walmart. They got the cheapest equipment, but even that's going to set you back some money. Yeah, I told the wife we were thinking about maybe even getting. I used to have a treadmill. I was busting her balls. I said, you know, I had a treadmill. If we still had the treadmill, I wouldn't have to worry about it. Can I work out at home? And so she's like, well, we'll buy some Fugazi thing, you know, put in the house. And so. And maybe if this goes long enough, I guess at some point there's the cutoff where if you don't go to the gym for a certain number of days, you got to get something. Like, I don't know. What should I get, Gascon, though? It's like I would think I was a big treadmill guy, but I like the elliptical machines are pretty cool. That stuff breaks so much, though. That's my concern.
I think for you, and I don't know if you'd want to do this, but I think the perfect exercise equipment for you would be the TRX. It was invented, I believe, by a Navy SEAL in a submarine. And it basically looks like two giant ropes, but they're not ropes. But you can latch it onto anything that you want, either high or low. You use it for pulling and for pushing. You can also use it to plank. You can also use it to squat or do lunges. It's an all-purpose type of apparatus. I would definitely recommend looking to a TRX. Spent,
those can't be that expensive because they're just ropes. Is that it?
It's not a rope. It's like a long cord. I don't know how to.
Right, I'm looking it up. TRX system at Walmart, $230.
Yeah, it's worth it.
Yeah,
I definitely recommend it. Yeah, because you, like I said, you can do anything on it. Push ups. You can plank. You can do pull ups. You can do kind of back raises, shoulder raises, like the whole nine yards. It's an all-purpose workout for you. Are you doing push-ups, by the way? Any of that stuff, like push-ups or squats?
No, of course not. I'm not doing any of that stuff. No.
What do you mean, of course not? Why not?
I'm not. I'm walking.
All right.
It's the greatest exercise. It's a nice walk. That's how I'm doing it, but I'll have to figure that out. Anyway, we got grab bag. These are actual questions in our new hybrid podcast where we give you podcasts every day of the week. The Maller Show, 5 days a week. One day you get two podcasts, including our Lenny Dykstra extravaganza. And now we have other podcasts for you on the weekend as well. Grab bag. These are actual questions by actual listeners. The first one comes from Brian in Northbridge, Massachusetts. He says, Ben, how can we keep David Gascon in quarantine and even further away from a microphone?
Well, I think that's a great idea. I got to have more nights with his girlfriend. That's all we need.
All right, calm down, cowboy.
What?
Lenny rubbing off on you?
No, I mean, maybe. You never know.
You can go buy some amphetamines.
Yeah, exactly. Steroids. CVS, I got Lenny Dykstra on line one.
Yeah, all right. Fats from Philadelphia writes in. I love this guy, Fats. This guy's a good dude, man. He sent me a bunch of pretzels before the world
bastard.
Shut down. He says, Ben, growing up, who was your favorite WWF wrestler, and did you ever see them wrestle live? Mine was King Kong Bundy. I saw him when I was in fifth grade at a local event. I got in trouble for tearing a woman's sign up for Mr. Wonderful, Paul Orndorff. She put me in a headlock and security came.
That's great.
This guy Fats is a character. Well, Fats, I loved wrestling. I'm probably around your age. I was a big fan of the Hulk Hogan, Andre the Giant, the battles, and I did see. I was also such a nerd. I loved Mean Gene Okerlund, the guy that did the interviews and the promos for the WWF. And I've told the story. I got fat eating WWF branded ice cream bars and different food that they debuted back in the. In the 1980s, but I went to the Anaheim Convention Center, this dumpy arena, just down the road from Disneyland, and they had an event there, and I went with my brother, and my mom dropped us off, and it was a big deal, you know, leave the kids at the wrestling event, and we hung out after waiting for the wrestlers to walk out, and I remember seeing Mean Gene wore a jumpsuit, like an athletic jumpsuit after he wasn't in his tuxedo, and saw like the back of Andre the Giant, and have great memories. Hulk Hogan was at that thing, so that was fun. And then later on, this is really cool, when I was doing a radio promotion, and I was a celebrity manager for a WWF event, one of the coolest things I've ever been able to do. They picked us up in a limo, and they took us, although it was at a minor league baseball stadium in the Inland Empire, and it was awesome. We went out, and it was the Ben, I was doing the Ben and Dave show, and Dave Smith was the manager of the other guys. I was the manager of the Head Shrinkers. But my favorite part was in the locker room hanging out with the wrestlers before, because we were one of the last events. And I believe he passed away a couple years ago, but George the Animal Steel, the legendary George the Animal Steel, the guy, Gascon, he's the guy that used to eat the side, the ring. And he was in there. And I was hanging in the same goddamn locker room with George the Animal Steel, a guy I grew up watching wrestling. How cool is that?
That's pretty
and,
awesome.
And also another guy that passed away, Viscera. I think that was his name. Remember, he was the huge black guy that had, like, he wore, he had contact lenses to make his eyes look correct. You know, he was like maybe not 800 pounds, but he was at least 600-700 pounds. I mean, he's huge. And the funny thing about that guy is, he was in the match before us, and he broke the ring. He jumped off the ropes, and he fell down, and he broke the ring, and so everything got delayed, and then he came back in the locker room. So I can still close my eyes and see this. It's one of the funniest things I've ever experienced. It sucks the guy passed away a couple years ago, but he came in there fully decked out, and he had the eyes with the contact lenses to make him look like Lucifer, and he had the body paint on, and he's got his head down, and the other wrestlers are like busting his balls, and he's like, "Oh, I'm sorry, guys, I didn't mean to do it." It was hilarious.
I had to Google him because I didn't recognize that name, but now I see that it was Big Daddy V. Like, he had his name.
Well, he
rebranded.
Had a couple of different names, but at that time he was known, I think, as Viscera or something like that.
Yeah, Viscera, Mabel, Big Daddy V. He was the King of the Ring tournament champ in 1995. Died.
Really good dude. Those are the two memories I have from that. But I loved wrestling in those days, man. Because we didn't have a lot of entertainment, you know, we didn't have a lot going on, and it was like big, you know, the promos. And I remember begging my mom to let me go to a wrestling event. She's, just watch it on TV.
Do you remember when Rick the Model Martel, sprayed his Arrogance perfume in the eyes of Jake the Snake and made him blind?
I do remember that. Yes. 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 I always loved when Jake the Snake Roberts would wrestle. I loved they would have it was the director of the events were great because they'd pan over and they'd have the shot of the bag with the snake.
Yeah, Damien.
It was so funny because it was like, oh boy, what's that snake's gonna get out of the bag? You know, it was pretty funny.
Yeah, in those days, obviously the neck breaker was always Queen Elizabeth, Miss Elizabeth for Macho Man. But those guys had great finishing moves. Macho Man off the top rope, Million Dollar Dream with Ted DiBiase, Ultimate Warrior, obviously Hogan and his weak ass leg drop. But everyone else, I did see once in Las Vegas. I actually walked by the same exact day. I don't know what the odds of this would be, but I walked by Jaws and Andre the Giant. I don't know if you remember Jaws, but he was in GoldenEye, or not GoldenEye. He was in Moonraker, James Bond movies. Mm-hmm. So he was in Moonraker and one other James Bond movie. But those guys were absolute beasts. And obviously the Andre the Giant, passed away at his age, but
did you see the documentary on Andre the Giant?
I did.
That was awesome. Yeah. And a lot of those stories were complete bullshit. They just made them up about Andre the Giant, and people believed it. People bought them. They're like, I couldn't believe that all that stuff was bullshit. I thought that was real.
Yeah.
That he drank all those beers on a flight and all that stuff and all the different stories that were told. But great memories. Thank you, Fats, for that.
Yeah.
Douglas from Vermont writes, and he says, guys, if you had to get a piercing, where would it be? Where would you get it? And you can't choose your ear. All right, so I'll go first here, Gascon. Now,
please.
I'm gonna say the least painful spot I would think would be like your nose. I think so. I would go nose. although it would look really odd. I'm not talking about the middle part. I'm talking about the top part. You know how it's like women sometimes get their nose pierced on the side?
Oh, yeah, like a
yeah,
stud?
Yeah, like that kind of thing. Like, I would do that because I think that would be like harmless. I don't think that would hurt very much. What about you, Gaskin? When you go for the below the belt piercing, help you out a little bit down there?
Yeah, you want me to get my ball bag pierced? I mean, well, this really is the Lenny Dykstra postgraduate
celebration.
Off on
me. He's a good influence.
I guess so. I mean, I've seen piercings all over the place, though. Like you mentioned the nose, but even the top, like in between your two eyebrows.
Yeah.
On the cheeks, on the dimples.
Oh, no. That looked painful. No, I don't know.
Yeah.
A lot of those look just.
See, I have a butt chin. What about if I got my butt chin pierced? Like, got the cleft?
Your butt?
Yeah, the butt chin, the butt chin, the clef. I get
do,
it.
You probably do it. All right. Gary from British Columbia writes, and he says, Ben, when you give game show whores introductions, when you have them introduce themselves, could you please add, for the people of Blazak, Alberta, B-A-L-Z-A-K, and Dildo, Newfoundland, or Newfoundland. That's from Gary in British Columbia. Yeah, Balzac? Yeah, like Balzac, I guess, is that's the joke there. Sure, Gary, why not? I don't think I can do dildo because the management gets offended by that word. They don't like that word. But Balzac, Alberta, that's a good name.
Yeah, you want some bad news, Ben?
What's the bad news?
I got a company email about about contributions for a certain company that I work for.
Yeah.
You might know of them too, but they are temporarily suspending employee contributions to your 401k.
Really?
Yes.
Wow.
How about that?
Wait. You got this? Is a company email you got?
That's a company email I had just received.
Really?
A few moments ago. Yeah.
I did not know that. It's unfortunate.
We're in a new, unique spot too, because you know we obviously commute to and from work to our houses, and you know, for the radio side of things, you were on the radio during the 9/11 attacks. Yes,
I was. I was on September 11th. I did show did updates that day. Yeah.
Did the company do anything for you at the time, like change scheduling or not permit you to go anywhere else? You had to stay locked indoors and on the radio for 8-9 hours, or what?
No, I was doing a shift in the early afternoon. I think it was like a noon to five or something like that. It was all wonky back then, and it was we had the studios at the Fox lot in West LA there, and I did the show, the updates, and then you know my mom was freaking out because my brother lives in New York, and at the time my sister-in-law was pregnant and that whole thing, and then so I remember that, and I remember driving by LAX and not a single flight. I drove on the 405 by LAX, and there was not a single plane in the sky. That just blew me away, but I don't remember them forcing me to stay there. I don't think that happened.
No.
Yeah. Why are you being forced to stay, I guess, kind of?
No, not at all. Just you see people tweeting out on social media that they're getting pulled over by cops and issued citations for being out. And
really?
We're part of the unique branch where we've been issued company and federal permission slips, if you will, about being able to commute to and from work for obviously business purposes. So
yeah, in fact I have the letter right here. It's on my desk here from it's a kind of form letter from the Department of Homeland Security.
Yes.
And this goes all the way through the end of May, and it's apparently I had no idea it's the Communications Act of 1934.
Mm-hmm.
But that is why we are allowed to continue. And I love the fact that sports radio is a critical situation, so
well, yeah. We could flip to news if we needed to.
Yeah, I mean, we could. And that's what we did in September 11th, that we became a news outfit. We talked about the news. What else are you going to talk about? Everyone can talk about what's going on.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Ben Maller Show weekdays at 2 a.m. Eastern, 11 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
All right, let's keep going with the questions. Let's see here. I can't read that. Scott from Milwaukee. Actually, I already read that. I can read it. I already did. Scott from Milwaukee says, question for Ben. If you had to be in self-quarantine with the following three, who would you choose? Weed Man Hippie, oh. Angry Bill, or Mark the Full Name Guy?
Oh, Mark, baby.
No, listen, you don't understand the kind of emails I'm getting from Mark the Full Name Guy.
They're good, probably.
No. This guy, he goes from, I'm never listening to you again, I hate you, and then I'll write back, thank you, don't ever listen again. And then he gets all upset and sends me seven different emails, and he's out of control. He's absolutely out of control. I'll read one. Want me to read one of the emails?
Yes,
here?
Please.
This is just a random email he sent me. This is 9 hours ago from when we were recording the podcast. This is from Mark, the Full Name Guy. He says, I know the theme song to the original Mission Impossible. Perhaps I will torment those sad sacks that call themselves a militia. Your next mission, Ben Maller, should be you decide to accept it. Concerns the whereabouts of one baby mama possibly being held hostage by a popcorn pimp who may have possession of her cell phone, the flute then plays. Should you or any of your operatives be captured or killed, drums come in with piano. That's just a random email that he sent.
What time of the day was that written at or sent?
These are usually sent like at 4 or 5 in the morning. How about this one? Here's another one from Mark. This one's entitled, this is Mark the Full Name Guy Emails. This is from, Mark. He sent this at 4:02 in the morning.
All right.
He lives in Medford, Oregon now. It's headline conspiracy theory. Mark the Full Name Guy writes, we may very well be at war with Iran. Just saying, I have a January New York Times copy in my pad, and there was a little chatter about a drone killing some general and a Ukraine jet shot down soon following. And I told you I stood in a market in the hood, Tenderloin. Yasser Arafat himself sat in a corner on a plastic crate silently. There are sleeper cells everywhere. Be careful. So, Mark the Full Name Guy. I would not hang out with him. I can't hang out with Weed Man because he hasn't taken a shower since 1986. Yeah. So I can't do the Weed Man thing. So I guess I'd have to hang out with Angry Bill. But he'd probably kill me because I'm Jewish and he's a racist and an anti-Semite. So I'd be in trouble.
Where is he at? Is he in Florida?
Yeah, he's from Nutley, New Jersey, but he lives in Jacksonville in that area.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I know everyone's history. I know it's crazy. I know Weed Man was, of course, from New York and was a Wall Street titan, lost everything when the stock market crashed, then became homeless and moved to Miami. I know that Mark the Full Name Guy is originally from Brooklyn. Grew up in New York, moved to San Francisco, was homeless for a while, got back on his feet, moved to Medford, Oregon, and I know they're like the whole history. It's crazy.
It's unbelievable.
I need to get a life.
Yeah, you do.
I know more about these people than I do like people in my family that are my cousins.
Well, it says a lot about yourself. So I
actually, it says more about my cousins because they've distanced themselves from me. Many of the cousins I grew up with, they live. I got a cousin in Florida. I got a couple in Florida. I got one in Scotland right now.
Oh,
I got
nice.
One in New York. Actually, a couple in New York. One's in Houston. I got people all over the country, but I don't really talk to them anymore.
Oh.
Out of sight, out of mind.
Yeah, something like that. You're not a great communicator. Anyways, press on.
Yeah, fuck you. All right, here we go. This is from Anu in Owensboro, Kentucky. He says, where did the rumor of your net worth of $4 million come from, and what could you do today to make that a reality?
Mm.
All right, that's from Anu. Anu, I could get a TV show. That would be a start, and we're efforting that. But if that ever happens, that would certainly help close the gap. I got to pay off my kitchen first. But Anu, it started on the internet, and people would just type in Ben Maller and then net worth to Google or whatever search engine you have, and then they do a calculation of what so-and-so's net worth is. I just love the fact that I am on these websites that are like celebrity trending websites, which is so, I'm not even a celebrity. It's so stupid. So dumb that they include me in these things. But for example, I just did it right now, Gascon, and I clicked on, Trending Celebs is the website, and it says, according to TrendCelebritiesNow.com, famous radio host Ben Maller's net worth is $1 million to $5 million, it says. And then they quote another website that says Maller's net worth is $6 million. So I'm actually worth $6 million now.
Still a shitty cook, too.
Yeah. Now, I'm a great... I know how to cook. By the way, my wife told me you don't know how to cook, and we need to teach you how to cook. I'm a master chef,
I said I don't know how to bake, or I don't bake.
I love baking. She showed me some... I'm better at baking. Let me tell you why. Because baking, you know, cooking, you have a little liberty and you can be more liberal. Baking, you got to get the exact amount of that fucking sugar and salt. And if you don't get the exact amount, it tastes like shit.
Yeah.
So you got to be perfect. I love that. I'm very meticulous. I don't know if you know that. I'm very meticulous.
She sent me some food porn the other day, which was some vegan cookies, you know, doused in some chocolate. It looked fantastic. Yeah. And I didn't recognize it at first, so I thought she was making those, and I asked her to share, and she's like, why don't you bake them? And I'm like, I don't fucking bake. I've been baked, but obviously you're in quarantine right now, and you're still having trouble with pizza, so...
I'm a master chef. I cook the pizza. I take the dough. I put the tomato sauce on. I got the pizza cheese. I got that. The turkey pepperoni, a little bell pepper, a little onion, mix that all together. It is marvelous.
It sounds painful.
Absolutely marvelous. It is great. One footnote to a news question, though, is the reason that Weed Man turned heel, went from a pretty boy to a heel, is because he got upset that he thinks I'm worth like $5 million and I'm not giving him any money.
Yeah.
He has no idea that I am underwater. And I'm in a bad spot financially, and I upgraded my kitchen before this all happened with the coronavirus, so God only knows what's going to happen going forward. But
you know what you need to do now to turn this thing around is you need to do a lot more networking, a lot more communicating. You need to light a fire under your ass. I'm here to help, of course.
Yeah, I'm sure you are. All right. Jeff in Wisconsin, I think his last name is Gascon. He says, why does Gascon get so much hatred? A real talent.
Yes.
That must be your... Is that your cousin in Wisconsin checking in?
I don't have any cousins in Wisconsin. Westminster, California, Florida.
Dan in Kalamazoo writes in. He says,
question. Why are you just dismissing his question?
It wasn't a question. It was more of a statement.
No, it was a question.
It was kind of a statement.
You should answer his question. That's what you should do.
Well, the reason Gascon is disliked on the show is because people have heard him, and he's annoying, and he's aggravating, and he gets on your nerves, and you're bothered by the Maller Militia. You don't like the fact that I like the Maller Militia more than you, and you're agitated by that.
That's not true.
And so you try to hit my buttons, and you treat this like an inconvenience, like this whole podcast thing is an inconvenience
It's not at all. I mean, you had the liberty of staying at home and doing this, and I have to drive 74 miles just to do this for you and to
get a little violin out.
No thank yous. I got a huge cross on my shoulder.
Do you know how many people would love to do a dopey little podcast with me?
No.
I mean, I can't think of any, but I'm sure there's some people out there that would love to do a podcast.
How about this? Let me go through the rundown. Coop? No. Eddie? No. Roberto? No.
See, none of those guys will do it because I don't get paid for this, and they won't do it unless they get paid, and which is probably the wise thing. You know, that's the wise thing to do, but I have diarrhea of the mouth. I get the flowing tongue going on, so why not?
Speaking of which, I did reach out to Terry. And we talked about possibly in a few days having him on from the UK. So we're going to make that happen.
Hey, listen, we have to do more podcasts now because people are looking for things to distract them. And I'm open to do that. We had Lenny on a previous episode. Our first interview was Lenny Dykstra. I don't know how you can top that. But if you want to recommend somebody, I know that Justin... Patient zero, our Rudy Gobert, Justin in Cincinnati, who has the coronavirus and is still smoking cigarettes, which all doctors tell you to do.
Yeah.
But Justin, he wants to have, he recommended Sid Rosenberg. You familiar with Sid Rosenberg?
Yeah, I am. How's he doing?
He's a New York talk show host. Used to be at WFAN. Now he's at WABC.
How is Justin
doing? He's a
Mallard
Militia guy. Sid Rosenberg's a Mallard Militia guy. I used to be his lead-in when he did a morning show in Miami. And so we'll have him on. We still got to get Tony Bruno.
Tony. Kenny Albert.
We'll do one with Kenny Albert.
Chris Myers. Yeah.
We can put Chris. Chris will do it. Yeah, we can do that. Yeah.
I need
but then you're just going to beg for a job, which is really unbecoming.
It's kind of the idea, right?
I didn't ask Lenny Dykstra for a job.
That's a little bit different. He's got no pills to sell you right now.
See, the problem is you're an opportunist guest.
Well, aren't
you're
we all?
You're looking at this podcast like a challenge. Like you said, who can we get on that will advance my career?
Everyone does what's in their best interest. I mean, is that...
No, but I'm not trying to advance my career. If I was trying to advance my career, I would have quit doing this and said, pay me or I'm not doing it. But I'm still doing it, right?
Well, no, it's actually a part of your contract, and it specifically states that. So that's a little bit of an amendment that you failed to recognize, but that's good. I mean, we're here.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Ben Maller Show weekdays at 2 a.m. Eastern, 11 p.m. Pacific.
And all right, Jason in Bakersfield writes in, he says, in your opinion, what is something everyone looks stupid doing? Well, I'll go first. I'll say dancing. I think everyone looks dumb dancing. Some people look kind of hot if they're good-looking people, but they look dumb in general. If you turn the music off, they look just stupid. So I'm going to go dancing. Gascon?
I'm going to say exercising. People that are running, people run awkwardly when they run. Some waddle, some flap their hands. Some are like breathing too heavy. I say running. People really.
All right, now Dan in Kalamazoo says, "Yeah, have you got any good hobo or crackhead stories?" Well, Dan, just listen to the overnight show. It's one hobo and one crackhead after another. They call up, so right?
Yeah.
What more do you need? Those are my people. Those are my peeps. Let's see. Eric in Omaha writes in. He says, "What song would you play over and over again to torture gag on?" All right, I got this, Eric. The most repetitive song I can recall recently, it was a few years ago, Rihanna. She had a song called Birthday Cake. Remember that song?
Yes.
She repeated the fucking lyric cake over 100 times in that goddamn song. So I would play that as torture for you, gag on, is what I would do.
That's... How did you even listen to that song in the first place? Like, what brought you to that? Did Danny or Roberto pot that up? Or
No. I would listen, like, on the radio edit or whatever. I'd hear it on the radio sometimes. I listen to music radio occasionally to hear different songs I don't normally listen to. Jesse from Pomona writes in. He says, I got a question you probably won't answer. Yeah, okay, Jesse.
Off the 60.
With the Clippers owner buying the old house the Lakers built, will they ever get out of the Lakers' shadow, or will they always just be the other team in L.A.? Well, Jesse, first of all, that is a brilliant move. That is an alpha move by Steve Ballmer, the Clippers owner, and that is the move that will get them out of the shadow of the Lakers. How embarrassing is it going to be for the Lakers and the historians that follow that team when the L.A. Clippers in 2024-2025 open the jewel, the Taj Mahal of NBA arenas, and the Lakers are stuck at Dopey Staples Center in downtown when the new cool part of Los Angeles is going to be in the hood in Inglewood.
No.
You've got the NFL stadium across the way. They are changing that whole area around. That is going to be the spot. And the Clippers are it's awesome. This is the move. And the way you change, you have to go through a generation, a couple of generations. And, you know, the old farts aren't going to ever give the Clippers any kind of love. And I get that. But the younger people, and the Clippers are doing a great job, their marketing department, they are marketing, they are flooding youth basketball leagues with Clipper memorabilia. And they're getting the kids, the next generations, the future of the world, and they're getting these kids to be Clipper fans. And I think it's wonderful because these kids, you know, you're born in the last 15 years. The Clippers have been better than the Lakers. Certainly the last 10 years they've been better than the Lakers.
So, what constitutes being better? Making the playoffs?
Better record head-to-head, better record overall.
Regular season numbers don't matter at all. I mean, they've done
nothing.
They
do matter. They play the games. They matter. Every game matters. That's why you're a loser in life, Gascon.
Why? Because I'm working with
matters.
You.
Oh. Every game matters. Megan writes in, friend of Jay Scoop.
Every game matters. You got a guy that takes off every 3 days.
Yeah, for load management.
Oh, fuck.
I'm all about it, man. Hey, we're all practicing load management right now with the coronavirus.
Well, some are.
We're all Kawhi Leonard right now. Yeah. All right, Megan, who's I met her, very nice woman, a friend of Jay Scoop there, lady friend of Jay Scoop from Seattle, says, should the Tiger King be in jail for so long? Who else should be in there with? Now, I've not seen the Tiger King documentary. I'm going to watch it this weekend at some point. I know this is on during the weekend. I've not watched it as we are recording this podcast. Have you heard about the Tiger King documentary on Netflix, Gaskin?
I've heard about it. I heard it's painful to watch. I don't see myself watching that at all. I got some old movies I need to watch anyway, so I'm not going to be watching that crap.
All right, well, I'm going to watch it. I'm going to check it out.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
From Matt in Mansfield, Texas, he says, Ben Megadiddos. How about that? Guy's a Limbaugh guy. He says, who's a better golfer, you or Gas Can? He says, I've always assumed that people who cover sports are good golfers, even Ray Ratto.
No.
I love that Matt lives in Mansfield, Texas, and knows who Ray Ratto is. That is outstanding. that's a 10.
Most non-athletes are good at golf.
I don't golf very often. I've said that I really wish I was good at golfing because that's where you network. That's where you get jobs. And I'm not good at it. I played in a celebrity golf tournament for Fox Sports Radio last year, and it was such a debacle. It was such a humiliating, frustrating experience. I hit a folding chair. I hit several golf balls into the drink, other golf balls into the – I lost so many. I ran out of golf balls. It was insane. And then I was like from Happy Gilmore. I'm like walking through the trees trying to find my golf ball. It was very frustrating. So I suck at golf. I'm pretty good occasionally on the driving range because I'm pretty tall and I've got some muscle and I can drill. If I hit it perfectly, it'll go really far. But other than that, nah. I mean, the putting stuff sucks and it's terrible. And what about you? Gaskin, you're west of the 405, so I would assume west of the 405, you're very good at golf.
Yeah, I played golf when I was a kid.
Of course you did.
My grandfather, God rest his soul, Tom, he had passed away from Alzheimer's, but Ben, he played college hockey at Boston College before the war, and he was drafted and then came out here and played a little bit at LMU, and then he went from the Army to the LAPD, and so he obviously retired the skates and started golfing. And so when I was young, he taught me how to play golf. But when he got sick and he passed away eventually, I was a teenager from Alzheimer's. So I still have his golf clubs, and I remember last year during the summertime, I actually dusted those things off. It was the first time in like 20 years that I touched them. And I went to the driving range, and I was out there for about 45 minutes, and I had blisters on both of my hands because I was just trying to swing for the fences. I mean, I haven't played the game in a long time. I'm not a fan of it, but, you know, it's part of the reason why I haven't, because, you know, those memories, and you don't get them back, so.
I hear you. Although, I wonder who would win it, because you say you haven't played in a while, but you did play golf when you were young. I wonder if, like, head-to-head, if we went to a pitch and putt, like, who would win? We should do that sometime.
Yeah.
You okay with miniature golf, you know?
Oh, yeah, I can do that easily.
Okay.
I mean, I'd rather do
The windmill, hit the ball in the windmill, you know?
Yeah, you're safer that way. It's better to do that than go, like, paintballing or something, because I'd be shooting your ass up.
I would drill you.
You got no mobility, man.
Oh, I'm a rock. I don't care. You can shoot me all. It doesn't matter. I'm going to nail you.
You know how bad that shit hurts?
We have a few more. Jeff in Clarksville, Indiana, writes in. He says, Ben, what is the one thing you like the most doing radio? What is the one thing you hate the most doing radio? He says he's across the river from Louisville, Kentucky. There you go. Well, here's the way I'll describe it. It's cool. It's a fun job. It's a great job. If you ever get a chance to do a radio show, you should do it. And I like the fact that every day is different, although I can tell you right now, not every day is different. But we're talking about different things. I love the fact that every day I go to bed and I wake up and I have a full chance. I have a blank canvas, if you will, and I can fill it and there's always usually new things, and I can be creative and try to find different things to get people engaged, and I love that. I also love the fact that there's the people that follow the show, the Maller Militia, have been very passionate. I don't deserve this. They've been very loyal to me. I've got people that have listened to me for 10, 15, 20 years on the radio, over 20 years, Doc Mike and guys like that. So I love that. People have been pen pals with me, and they've become married and gotten kids, and their kids have grown up and gone to high school. Some are even in college and beyond, and that's pretty cool. That's wild to me because I don't realize the time has gone by that quick. The thing I hate most about radio is the instability of the business. It's a very fickle industry, but I feel like all industries are like that to some degree or another. And the cool thing about the broadcasting business is now because of things like this podcast, before you were at the mercy of your employer, but now with the podcast, I've got friends I used to work with in radio that make more money now, you know, charging $5 a month for their podcast. They lost their radio job, and they're making a killing doing things like that. So there's different ways you can do it, but that's the downside. But other than that, it's more good than bad. So... Sean in Nashville writes in, he says, would you rather page down, never witness the Dodgers back in the World Series or be kicked below the belt by, and then I cut off the end here, I think probably some kind of wild animal. Yeah, you know, you can kick me below the belt. I don't care. I mean, it's not, although I don't really benefit from the Dodgers winning other than I can just be an annoying schmuck, but I'm that anyway. Like, it's not like I work for the Dodgers anymore. If when I was doing Dodger talk, I might have gotten a World Series ring, which would have been pretty cool.
Yeah.
Of course, when I was doing it, they blew. They had all these high-priced players and they didn't win.
Eric Davis?
No, this was Kevin Brown, Gary Sheffield, that era of Dodger baseball.
Todd Hollinsworth?
Yeah, he was around. Todd Hollinsworth was on the team. Mondy? I was tight with Mondy. We were rookies of the year together in the early 90s, me and Mondy.
They ran, what, 5 straight years with rookie of the years?
Yep, 5 consecutive years. They had Hideo Nomo, Hollinsworth, Piazza, Karros, Mondesi, that era, and what did it get them? All right, Steve in Louisville writes in. He says, formerly from Indiana, or from Indy, rather. He says, will garlic keep COVID-19 away?
Nope.
Yeah, I'm going to go no. Although Doc Mike might disagree because he thinks you just drink your piss and you're good. You know, that's what he thinks. I love garlic, but I'm pretty sure it's not going to keep you safe from coronavirus.
Yeah, everything they say to take, at least for supplement-wise, zinc, not on an empty stomach, zinc, vitamin C, vitamin D, pound that as much, and obviously water, and get plenty of
we're doing a lot of, at the Maller Mansion, my wife, a hippie, and we're doing a lot of fruit smoothies.
That's good.
With vegetables and the fruit, and you mix all that together.
She took some of the recipes that I had posted on Instagram and used them.
She's big on the pomegranate juice. She thinks that's really good for you. Pomegranate.
Oh,
big fan. She's buying into the pomegranate.
All right.
I never had pomegranate before a couple of years ago. I don't think it was regularly produced other than a few years ago?
Yeah. Are you at least adding some peanut butter or anything that kind of gives it a good kick for taste?
Well, whatever she puts in there, I'll eat. So, you know, whatever's in there.
All right.
Good. Let's see. Carlos from Houston writes in. He says, who's the big voice guy on the instant advice line? I don't know, Carlos. I don't. I know there's a few people that have big voices that call in. I don't know who. Ron in Rockport, Indiana says, Ben, when is the next talent show? I don't have a date, Ron. I'm thinking that if this continues sometime in April, because we're not going to have sports in April, and so we're going to need some content, and I think that would be a great time to have another talent show. In April, and Jay Scoop better start preparing, and all the other fine members of the Maller Militia. So if you have a talent and you want to be part of that, I'll let you know more. But the way it's looking right now, unless we start getting sports back in April, we're going to have the talent show in April. So what's going to happen? What else? Vernon from San Diego writes, and he says, if Costco never brings back the samples, what will you do? Will you do a boycott? Is that an order? Yeah, listen, I am a big fan of the Costco sample. I've been very clear about that, Vernon. It's a big part of my life. It's a big part of my routine on the weekends. I often go to Costco twice on the weekends, one day to shop and the other day just to eat samples. I openly admit that, and I'm not bashful about that. I'm bummed out, but I would probably stand. I would probably do some kind of rhythmic chant for Costco. I would do some kind of rhythmic chant. You know, what do we want? Samples. When do we want it? Now. You know, something like that.
Oh, man. But you're the only one that likes
get up, get down. There's a sample movement in this town.
You're the only one that likes the samples, though, right? Your wife doesn't like the samples.
No, she doesn't. Because she's doing the dopey gluten-free thing, so she can't eat most of the stuff anyway.
Oh, well.
Yeah, because most of it's not gluten-free.
Fair enough. So,
what do you think? Which chant's better? What do we want? Samples. When do we want it? Now. It's pretty good, right?
Or what's the alternative?
What's that?
What's the alternative?
Get up, get down. There's a sample movement in this town.
Oh, you should do that. You should do it like an up-down or like a YMCA kind of model. You should do it like get up, get down. Yeah, I like that.
1, 2, 3, 4, we don't want your fucking war. 2, 4, 6, 8, stop the violence, stop the hate, bring back the samples.
Oh, man.
How about that?
Yeah, you should be in D.C. with that one.
Yeah, I could be a political protester. I know all the lyrics. Hey, hey, ho, ho, Costco's gotta go.
There you go.
What do you think? Come on.
You are well-versed, my friend.
I know all of them. There's only like 4 or 5 different protest chants that they do. No justice, no peace, right?
Yeah.
Whose streets? Our streets, right? Whose samples? Our samples. What do you think?
Jesus.
All right, we have a bunch of other questions, but we have hit the end of the road, Gascon. Yes, the end of the road, as they say.
Yes, yes, yes.
Anything to promote here, Gascon?
You know what? That's a good reminder. I got a care package this week, and I know you're a big fan of plugging.
Only when it helps me.
Well, it might in some ways. I've worked on a couple different platforms, and one of the sponsors, a clothing line down in San Diego called Viori, sent me a care package earlier this week. Ben, there's a lot of fitness products like Nike, Under Armour, Reebok, all these companies. They have pretty decent stuff. But Viori, they sent me a spring collection of stuff, sweats, couple t-shirts, some workout shorts. You gotta check it out, man. Go online. It's
Wait. Well, how come I didn't get any? I'm the star of the show. Why didn't I get this? That's debatable.
Maybe a star, but is it the brightest star?
Wait. So you hold on a second.
It's different, you know.
Wait. Time out.
What?
That means you're actually getting paid for this, and I'm not getting paid for this because I didn't get anything.
Well, I mean, it's
quality. I don't even get a pat on the back or an attaboy.
Well, it's more quality than quantity, and I think you would agree with me that the voice is a little bit different when it comes from me, and so I think that it's more about markability,
No. You know, I voiced over an HBO commercial for a documentary, which is going to be airing on radio stations this week.
For who?
Me.
No, for like what?
For iHeartMedia. Oh. I voiced over an HBO commercial read for this college basketball documentary, which debuts, and you better watch it. It's supposed to be really good. March 31st.
Oh, that's right. Was it based on Arizona? On the Arizona Wildcats?
Yeah, it's on the shoe scandal, and it's really, from what I understand, it's great. I haven't actually seen it yet, but I've heard amazing things about it. Like, this is going to be just blowing the lid off of that scandal, and some people are going to end up losing their jobs because of this.
Yeah,
supposedly.
So. I saw some tweets about it. Like, I guess like Sean Miller is the one guy they said is it's just perplexing why he'll still have a job after this, even if he does. But that's great. Yeah. I mean, you should pass some of that stuff my way. I mean, I can always do some VO work.
Well, no, I mean, why don't you pass a couple of t-shirts my way or a jumpsuit or something like that, and then we can, you know, go back and forth, yes?
But I guess the one thing is, though, is your body shape is always changing. We talked about your suits, and you said you don't want to hem them. You want to wait till you lose the most amount of weight possible before you buy.
But I'm willing to break that protocol for new clothing. But I don't like to change my clothing because I did it before and then I gained a lot of weight back. So I'm paranoid, I'm superstitious that if I suddenly change my whole wardrobe around and get rid of my fat clothes and buy clothes that actually will fit, then I'll just start eating, you know, triple cheeseburgers every day and cheese puffs, and then I'll be back up to where I was before. So I'm paranoid about that.
It'll be a little dangerous if you wear this attire, because I could see you wearing it all day. Like, you could be one of those people, like, that's in quarantine right now that doesn't shower and just sits in the same attire for, like, 18, 19 hours until
you... How do you know I'm not that? How do you know that I'm not doing that right now?
Well, because you admitted earlier that you were walking. You've been walking around the block. So
I have been walking.
So you've been doing that at least.
So I can't wear my... You're true. I can't go full white trash wearing my pajamas walking around. No, I've not done that in my wife beater t-shirt. I'm not doing that.
But this attire almost looks like PJs. That's how comfortable it is. The sweats, the shorts.
It'd be nice if I had some gas gun. I'm sure it'd be, I could brag about it, but I don't have any gas gun. Okay, I'm not like you. I'm not getting paid for this podcast. You can no longer complain about the podcast. You're getting free swag. I don't get any free swag. Nothing. Listen, zero. Zippo. Bupkis.
How about this? How about you go online? The website is VioriClothing.com. It's V-U-O-R-I clothing.com.
Uh-huh.
Take a look.
Wait. I'm going to go there right now. What is it? Say it again. Spell it out.
V-U-O-R-I clothing.com.
I think I know how to spell clothing. All right.
I assume so. I mean, so you're a graduate of Saddleback University, and
that's right. You know, the Harvard of the West Coast. the Harvard of the West Coast. Oh, yeah.
I think I could go
for one of those hoodies.
Yeah, the hoodies are good. I have two of those.
Do you have two hoodies?
Yeah, there's one for winter and then the one for spring. They're like windbreakers. They're comfortable.
Oh, exactly. Yeah. I could go for. The sweater looks pretty good. The Performance Crew.
Yeah, you can rock this at a Dodger Stadium game, day or night, or of course when you're in the Fox Sports Radio studios. If you ever come back.
I don't think I'll ever come back. I think I'm just going to do the show from home now.
I'm loving this so much. Such bullshit, too, by the way.
What are you talking about?
Because you're in an isolated studio anyway, and the fact that you don't have to drive here, but I do, it's bullshit.
Well, the problem with the Fox Sports Radio studios, I love them. I've worked there for 20 years. I love the Geico Fox Sports Radio studios. The problem is not me. It's the other unwashed animals that work there. And that's the concern. Like, if it was just me, I wouldn't worry about it. But there's, that's a 24-hour, that's like a subway car, in Manhattan.
Yeah, minus the licking of the rails.
Imagine the kind of varmints that work there. Yeah. And these people are animals. They eat, they poop all over that place. It's a disaster.
Yeah, they don't know where to piss. It's fascinating.
Exactly. All right, listen, have a great day today. We got another podcast tomorrow for you. It's every day, this fifth hour on the weekends. And we'll catch you next time, and be safe.